welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo. I'm honored to have with me today, Rozzy Brilliant. Rozzy is a stage 4 ovarian cancer survivor, and she's here to share her story with us today. Rozzy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Oh, and we appreciate having you here, and we are thrilled to share your story. Before we get going, could you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Okay. So I am, as we said, I'm a stage 4 ovarian cancer survivor. I'm the mother of 2, a boy and a girl. I have 6 wonderful grandchildren. I am married. My husband has been a resident in a nursing home. In July, it'll be 4 years. So I spend a lot of time with him, typically about 4 to 5 hours a day. And on top of that, I own my own business, and it's an international business.
And you have a unique story in that many of your family members have had cancer. Could you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Well, I had recently gotten married, came home from my honeymoon. My mother asked me to go to the doctors with her, and ultimately, we found out that my mother had cancer and was going to need surgery. This is over 50 years ago. So in those days, you didn't say the word cancer. It was a no-no. Everybody called it the big C. And you were afraid to even say the word because somehow if you said it, you were going to pass it on to somebody. So my mom died shortly after I was married. My maternal grandmother, and my mom was only 47. Her mother died at the age of 53. In those days, they called it woman's cancer. So who knows? It could have been ovarian, but we'll never know that for sure. My mother's brother died of colon cancer. My dad died of prostate cancer. My father's sister died of pancreatic cancer. And I have a brother who's 5 years older than me. And my brother has had 2 different types of cancer. He's had melanoma and prostate cancer. So it's in my family everywhere.
Wow. I mean, that's just a lot to think about. I just can't imagine how one family has been so ravaged by the big C, as you put it. So when were you diagnosed with ovarian cancer?
I was diagnosed in 2012. And just like many other women like myself, I was blindsided. As I said, my mom died of colon cancer. And so I was always expecting to get colon cancer. And since her brother had died of the same thing, I was sure someday it was going to happen to me. And so I tried to be proactive. And every year I went for colonoscopies and nothing ever showed up. I was good. And then my husband retired, and we lived in a community that was gated and had a walking group. And so I went walking one morning and came back home, and my hip was killing me, pain I'd never felt before. And so I went to the orthopedist, and he said, well, from where you're saying the pain is, it's coming from your hip. And so he sent me for a CAT scan. Nothing showed up. Thank God he went the extra step and said, you know what, Rozzy, I'm going to send you back. Maybe it's coming from your back. So he sent me back for another CAT scan. When I came back to see him, his face was ashen. And he said to me, Rozzy, I don't know how to tell you this, but you have cancer. And that was how it all started. Then it was a matter of finding, you know, an oncologist and everything else. My husband has a rare autoimmune disease. And so the first thing that we did was go to his oncologist, who really helped me a lot. He helped me find out more about the kind of cancer that I had. I was tested through a lymph node in my neck for a biopsy. And then he pointed me in the direction of an oncologist in Baltimore that he thought I would relate well with.
So you mentioned, you know, you're hypervigilant about cancer because it's been all over your family. And all of a sudden you have this pain in your hip, and it turns out upon further studies to be cancer. What stage was it, despite all your hypervigilance, when they finally caught it?
Stage 4. I was stage 4 from day 1.
So all of the measures that you had taken, the preventative measures and all that awareness, there were no signs and symptoms ahead of that excruciating hip pain?
No. No. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. When I look back on it now and I know more about ovarian cancer, I had all the symptoms. I had every single one of them. And I had gone to my doctor. I'd even, as a remembrance and to keep me on target, I still have a prescription that she wrote for me when I went there, you know, to remind me of the date that I had gone there and then how shortly thereafter I was actually diagnosed. It was probably 6 weeks later that all of this happened. So again, I'm a firm believer that, you know, knowledge is power and I want to be on top of everything. It's not like I wasn't expecting to get cancer. And as I say to my friends, I was fighting the wrong dragon for all those years. You know, I was thinking I'm going to get colon cancer. So when they said to me, you have ovarian, I'm going, no, I don't. You know, I'm like, no, I have to have colon cancer. That's what's running through my family.
And so do you feel that having this family history with cancer, that you were able to cope with the diagnosis a little bit better or maybe take a more proactive treatment course because you had prior experience?
The only thing I can say from my prior experience was as I said, my husband and I had just come home from our honeymoon when I took my mother to the doctors and we got the diagnosis. And so and my father couldn't deal with my mother having cancer. And so I became the caregiver. So I got up every morning and where people would normally go to work, I got up and went to my parents' house, took care of my mother and cooked dinner for all four of us, including my husband, my mother, my father. We all ate dinner together. I cleaned up and then my husband and I went home. So that was my job. You know, it was just expected. You know, no one had ever said, would you or could you? It fell on me. So I guess I was a caregiver without ever wanting to be one. So, I mean, and I had seen what my mom had gone through. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And I think that, as I tell people, you know, seeing my mother die so young and not really getting to enjoy much of life, it changed my whole attitude that I was going to live life to the fullest. No matter what it was, I was going to do it. And my friends laugh at me because sometimes they would call and they'd say, do you want to go to dinner? And I'd say, I'm cooking dinner. But, you know, like, if you want us to go, and I would literally take my dinner, put it back in the refrigerator. And my husband and I would go out to eat. I wasn't going to miss anything. And I feel that way about all of life. I want to live every day as if it's my last, because I don't want to leave here with any regrets that I didn't do anything or see anything. So it's very important to me.
Wow. That's such an inspirational way to look at life. I want to talk about treatments here for a little bit.
Sure.
It seems like in talking that you are very proactive getting into a cancer treatment and really trying to take this disease head on, mm-hmm. to do the most that you could to really just kind of meet cancer where it was at and win. What was the most helpful support you received during your ovarian cancer treatment?
There's been so much of it. First of all, my children live about an hour and a half away. So on a daily basis, after I started my treatments and whatever, they couldn't be there to help me. I mean, they have young children and they couldn't be my support. My friends were unbelievable. I mean, they fed me, they clothed me, they took me to the doctors. I had one friend who's a nurse, and she would take me for my treatments in the morning and get me home by like 1:30, and then she'd go to work from the 3 to 11 shift. When I was lucky enough to make it to my 70th birthday, which was much longer than I ever thought I would live, because I figured my mother died at 47, her mother died at 53. So in my 40s, I wasn't going to be here any longer. And so for my 70th birthday, we had a huge party and invited 100 of my closest, nearest, dearest friends. My children, paid for the party, and it was their way of thanking everyone for having taken care of me and my husband. As I mentioned, my husband's in a nursing home. So we're a real pair. and my husband always, my son always says when it was, the decision of whether to put my husband in a nursing home or keep him home, my son said to me, Ma, the best life for the two of you is apart. You can take care of yourself and they can take care of him. And the two of you are going to live longer apart than together. And it was difficult. And believe me, the transition was tearful for many months. But in retrospect, it was the best thing to do.
Now, you've been both a caregiver and a patient.
Yes.
What advice would you give to somebody that's just starting out on this journey, both from the patient side and the caregiver side?
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because I have devoted my life to helping other women with ovarian cancer. And ironically, just a few months ago, one of my good friends was diagnosed. And of course, she called me right away. And I helped her get into a renowned surgeon at Hopkins who I've become friends with. And, you know, the first thing I always say to anyone who tells me that they're being diagnosed with cancer is take your foot out of the grave. You know, this is not, you know, it doesn't have to be a death sentence. And use whatever energy you have and whatever time you have to enjoy life and put all your energies into good, positive things instead of all the bad. When they tell you there's nothing left, that's when you can go down and you can get up, you know, you can really get upset. But as long as they're, and today, I mean, when I was diagnosed 5.5 years ago, there was no such thing as like a PARP inhibitor, and there was no immunotherapy. And that was all trials, clinical trials. And I say every day that I'm alive, they have found something new and something wonderful and something positive to help us live longer. I believe that's why I'm still here.
We're talking to Rosie Brilliant, stage 4 ovarian cancer survivor. We understand that you have made a personal commitment to educating as many people as possible about ovarian cancer.
Mm-hmm.
What is your message to those women at risk or for those who are living with the disease?
Well, I think a big part of my story and what I've devoted myself to is, as I said, I have a terrible family history. And so I went for my oncologist after I'd started treatment said, you know, Rosie, I think you should go for genetic counseling. And at that time, that was something that, especially for ovarian cancer, I didn't even know it existed. I assumed from my friend, I'd had lots who had been tested for breast cancer when it ran in their family, but I never knew you could be tested for anything else. And so when she suggested that I go for, you know, for genetic counseling, I went, I'm on it. And, you know, so I went, my children went with me because they had a vested interest and wanted to learn more too. And I got tested. As a result of being tested, it proved that I was BRCA positive. So now it explained my mother and my grandmother, right? So now all my puzzle pieces have been put to rest. You know, everything that I wondered about really was true. And so, as I said, I had the genetic counseling. My daughter said at the time that I was being tested, she goes, Ma, if you prove positive, I'm going. Okay. So shortly after, you know, I proved positive, she went, she found out that she indeed was positive as well. She wanted to go in for surgery, but her own mother-in-law, my son-in-law's mother, was dying of ovarian cancer. More than ironic, I guess. And so my daughter had to put off the surgery. So when until after her mother-in-law passed away, because she was being the caregiver and helping out the family with her mother-in-law, who lived right near them around the corner. And so afterwards, when she went in for the surgery, I went down from Baltimore to Virginia, you know, and went with my son-in-law, you know, the day of the surgery to be there, to be supportive of my daughter. And after the surgery, her doctor came down and sat us down. And she said, I don't know how to tell you this, but your daughter already has cancer. And my daughter was stage 2. So it was at that moment that first the guilt, I passed this on to her. And then what am I going to do with all of this? And I swore that because I had been tested genetically and found out what was going on, and had she not gone, in my mind, okay, I can't, you know, I can't swear to it, but in my mind, she and I, both of us honestly believe that she would not be alive today, that she would be a statistic. But the fact that she went for testing, it was caught early, And she, you know, she went on for, you know, for treatment and everything like that. And, you know, I don't know what you say, knock wood, whatever. I'm a 5.5 year survivor and she's a 4.5 year survivor. So it was at that moment that I swore I had saved the most precious life to me, which was my daughter. And I was out to save the world. I had to pay back and pay it forward.
Rozzy, thank you so much for sharing these personal stories with us today. And we're so glad that not only you, but your daughter are thriving despite this horrible diagnosis. As we start to come to a close here, do you have any advice for the women in our audience that may be facing a similar journey?
A couple of pieces of advice. First, when I was diagnosed, and remember, this is long before anything with my daughter, she said to me, Ma, don't go on the internet because everything you read there is going to scare you and it's going to upset you. So let me do that. Well, you know, it kind of backfired because then when she was diagnosed, she had all that information. So one of the things that, you know, I'm excited about being part of this, you know, the project for Our Way Forward is that the information there is something that's tried, it's true, as opposed to, you know, when you go on the internet, you can find so many things. And I think that's what scares women the most is, you know, this is a disease that a lot of people don't know about. They don't even know the right questions to ask. And fortunately, on Our Way Forward, -oc.com, they can get some questions. If they can't think of them themselves, they're there for them. And that can help them a lot. But I believe that, you know, every woman, every person knows her own body. And if you believe that something is wrong and it's not right, then challenge the doctors, challenge anybody until you get an answer that you're comfortable with.
You mentioned Our Way Forward.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little bit about that organization?
The organization, Our Way Forward, is sponsored by Tesoro. And it's a way for women, men, anybody who wants more information about ovarian cancer to get accurate information. Anything that would help them. They can hear stories from other women, you know, rebroadcast, you know, videos, anything, all of that. But like I said, the most important thing is that the information is real and you're not just searching out there on the internet. Because, you know, I know myself, I still do it. I still go on the internet, you know, when something comes up or on a test and I read it and I go, why did you do that, Rozzy? You know, like, why did you go there? You know you're going to get upset when you see what it is. So I'd rather, if I'm going to go to a resource, I want to go to one that I can put some faith in.
And what is that link again?
The link is ourwayforward-oc.com.
And we'll make sure we share that link in our podcast notes. Well, Rozzy, how are you doing today? How are you feeling today?
I'm great. I'm alive. And I, you know, I have a friend and we always talk about it. And I say, any day, this side of the dirt's a good one. So, and I'm out to, you know, to live my life and do as much as I can. And honestly, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak because every time I speak, I feel like it's therapy for me that, you know, I'm able to help somebody else. And I know it sounds crazy, but having had cancer, I have met some of the most wonderful people in the world. You know, I've become friends with my surgeon. I would have never, ever, you know, met her if it weren't for this. And all the different people who have entered my life and having an opportunity to speak. And I modeled for the American Cancer Society. I've done so many things that were out of my comfort zone, but things that I always kind of wished I could do. And so I hope that others will take it and turn it into a positive and enjoy life and do what you want to do.
Rozzy, thank you so much for joining our podcast today. We really appreciate all the awareness and education that you're doing for people living with this illness, and we wish you continued success in the future.
Thank you. I have a little pact with the man upstairs or the woman upstairs, whatever it is. When I was diagnosed, I always said, you know, like, why me? Which I know you're not supposed to do. And then I went, okay, I got the picture. You know, I was given cancer because I would do exactly what I'm doing. I would go out there and help other people. So every night before I go to bed, I look up, I have a vaulted ceiling in my bedroom, and I look up at the ceiling and I say, thank you for today. And if you will give me tomorrow, I will help somebody tomorrow.
She's Rozzy Brilliant, stage 4 ovarian cancer survivor and ovarian cancer advocate. I'm Matt Cavallo. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast. We look forward to bringing you another inspirational story soon.